Okay, good evening, everyone. Tonight's shiur, I want to make tonight's shiur a zchus v'refuah shleima for kol sha'ar chayle Yisrael. And specifically, I was brought to my attention that one of the rabbanim in the five towns who I've known for many years is a neighbor of my parents. I grew up across the street from him, and he's a wonderful yid, and I have much appreciation and hakaras hatov to him. Rabbi Friedman needs a refuah shleima, I was told. So our learning should be a zchus refuah shleima for Yaakov Yosef ben Fega, b'soich shar chayli Yisrael. Tonight's shiur is going to be a very touchy topic because it has to do with people's money. And I have no intention, as many people I think were hoping, to make any major rulings or halach lamais on what to do. I'm merely going to explain the issues that tzadim, the background. And I'm going to leave it up to, as I see, and I'll mention in tonight's shiur, many communities have already published what they want to do. I know, Michael, you sent me an email from Rabbi Feiner. I have a printed email from Lakewood, and I saw what they're doing in Baltimore. So I'm not necessarily telling anyone what to do. I just want to be mazbir the sugya. I guess that's one of the perks of doing these types of shiurim. I don't have to lay out halacha l'maisa. I can just explain the sugya a little bit of some of the issues. Now, tonight I want to speak specifically about tuition, but we will ultimately discuss not only tuition, but really jobs and a worker-employee relationship. Now, when it comes to the question of tuition that has been raised by many people because of COVID-19, now, just for the record, I'm on both sides of the equation. I have children that are in school, and I myself am a Rebbe. So I'm on both sides. I don't have any skin in the game either way because both sides I have stud them in. So it's a very difficult conversation and discussion to talk about. Should tuitions be collected if school is not completely in its regular sessions? Now, I also want to make a disclaimer that I want to give a very special, and I think it's worth mentioning, you know, shout out for all the teachers in the Rebbeim that are trying their best to really teach kids via Zoom. For many Rebbeim, this is the first time they've ever heard of Zoom. This is the first time they've ever been on a computer. This is the first time they've ever taught this way. And they're really doing their best. And moras and teachers and all different types of educators are really doing their best to give over a mesorah, to give over some form of structure to these children, and they should be commended just for that. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason they should get a full salary, we'll talk about that tonight, but just whatever we come out in today's share, I think it's worth mentioning that the teachers, and many of these teachers / Rebbeim have their own children at home, and they're trying to be both a teacher and a parent, so that alone, they deserve a lot of recognition for the difficult job that they're trying to do. But the question at hand is, does one have to pay their workers, both, we'll call them teachers, mowers, and perhaps even other workers, when there's a cancellation of the job? So in order to answer this question, we have to do a little bit of some background into basic Chayshim Mishmah. Now again, I'm going to put a disclaimer. I don't claim to have many ideas in Chayshim Mishmah. I don't consider myself a bucking Chayshim Mishmah in the slightest, and that's not humility, that's honesty. And whenever it comes to Chayshim Mishpat, it's not enough just to go to a regular rabbi. You have to go to a rabbi who's an expert in Chayshim Mishpat. There are, Baruch Hashem, many people who study Chayshim Mishpat all day long, or they study it well. But Chayshim Mishpat needs to be handled extremely delicately. There's a lot of nuances, a lot of subtle details that can change the entire Shaila. So again, with that intro and that overview, let's just try to put together the sugya as best as we can. So the question is, what happens when a worker can't do their job? When a worker can't do their job, let's say, for example, a worker's job would be to teach in a school, or a worker's job, for that matter, might be to babysit, or a worker's job might be to be a janitor in the school, and the school is closed. What happens now? Says the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Zayin, Omar Rava, Hayman de Ogir Agure LeDavlo. If someone hired a worker for a field, he ordered a gardener, V'yasa Mitra, and then rain came. So I don't need him anymore. So what happens now? Says the Gemara, Pseida de Poyalim. The Poyalim lose out. The worker loses out. If the worker is no longer needed, he does not get paid. Pseida de Poyalim. However, says the Gemara, Asi Nahara, if let's say the reason why I'm no longer needed is because not that it rained, but the river overran the boundary, and now it irrigated the field, that's Pseida de Balabais. The Balabais has to take that loss, and how much does he give him? The Yavle Kipoil bottle. He doesn't give him a full salary because he didn't work. He didn't show up to work that day. You were not needed. So what do I give you, says the Gemara? I give you like a poil bottle. Now this will be very relevant in today's shir, as we'll try to calculate how much does a poil bottle get. A poil bottle means someone who doesn't work. Well, how much do you get paid for not working? And that's going to be extremely relevant in our sugya. But the obvious question on this Gemara is, what's the difference between the case where the rain came versus the case where the river overflooded? Why in one case is it pseida de poyalim, and why is in one case pseida de balabai? So if you look in Rashi number 2, says Rashi, the amile miyemar I hired you to irrigate my field. I hired you to water the field. So a guy calls up the gardener Sunday. He says, come Monday morning, I want you to water my field. Sunday night, there's a massive rainstorm. And Monday morning, I no longer need him. So I call him up Monday morning. I say, don't show up to work. So now, do I still have to pay him? So the Gemara says, no, say to the pilum. The pilum lost out. They don't get to collect. Says Rashi, v'asa mitra v'hishkaisa. It watered the field. Ve'in etzricha. Now I no longer need you. I no longer need your services. So says the Gemara. So what's the difference between asa nahara versus asa mitra? So says Rashi. Asa nahara gadol hanor va'ala v'nichtas becharitzin asuim besodeh u'mehem hun shayseh vein tarich ledavlo. Again, the bank of the river overflowed, and now I no longer need it. So Rashi, that's say to the balabais. The poalim enim yodim b'minog sadehu she'enor oilalash koise, because the workers had no idea that you have a field that sometimes gets overflowed by the water. Therefore, Allah says, Achuya did, but you knew that. So Rashi's explained there's a very important difference over here. Rain, no one knows if it's going to rain. Again, today maybe it's different because we have meteorology reports. We'll see if Moshe Feinstein discusses that. But in the times of the Gemara, no one knew if it was going to rain. So if no one knows what's going to happen, an uncontrollable situation happens, says the Gemara, say to the Pilum. The Pilum lose out. However, says the Gemara, if it's a controllable outcome, someone knew about this. The worker did not know, but the owner knew. The owner knew that it's very likely that if the tide hits a certain point, it will overflow and come into my field. And the worker did not know that. The worker had no idea that that's the reality. So in that case, says the Gemara, pseida debal habayis. But what we need for our Gemara is that in the case where the worker can't show up to work because the job is no longer needed, it's an onus. He can't do anything about it. So the assumption is this pseida de poilum. The poilum take the hit, the workers lose, and they don't get paid. So let's say, for example, let's talk corona. I want to show up to work, but I can't show up to work because the schools are closed. They don't let us in. I'm ready to work. I have a whole lesson plan, or I'm the janitor. I'm ready to clean the floors, or I'm the maintenance in the school, whatever my job may be. Again, lav dafka in the school. In anything, I'm ready to work, but it's closed. It's closed because of COVID-19. So the chayra, simple reading of the Gemara, should be pseida de poilim. The worker does not get paid because he doesn't work. He doesn't get paid. Now, why is it pseida de poilim? So Rashi says in number 3, kshavim sheyardu hefsid poilim hu. The worker loses out. The yav luhu midi, he doesn't get paid. The am aluhu, we could say to him, maz lecha garam. We tell the worker, it's your fault. You have bad luck. Sorry. Luck is not on your side. You have bad luck. Your bad luck is why COVID-19 happened. Or your bad luck is why they closed down the school because of the snowstorm. Or your bad luck is why, it rained last night. Very interesting svara. The Gemara has a svara called Mazlechagar. It's your fault. The worker can say to his employee, it's your fault. You got bad. It's your bad luck. And therefore, the worker does not get compensated. The Rosh, in Bab Metzia number, source number 4, the Rosh gives a different svara. The Rosh says, the chol onsa de loi boi lasuki adaiti, any onus, which no one could have foreseen. Loi po'al v'lo balabayis, not the worker, not the owner. Inami, or chavayu boi lasuki adaiti, or both of them should have foreseen such a loss. Then, pseida de po'alim, the workers lose out. Why is it Rashi? Da moitze mechaveru olav araya. So the Rosh seems to be going different than Rashi. Rashi said, because the worker, the employee tells the employer, your luck. Mazlecha garam, you have bad luck. Your bad luck caused you to be unable to attend the work. However, the Rosh seems to be saying a different svar. The Rosh seems to be saying, it's hamayitze mechavel avaraya. No one knows whose fault it is. No one knows who's to blame. Is it the bad luck on the employee? The bad luck on the employer? So we go with the old-fashioned rule, hamayitze mechavel avaraya. You, the worker, you want to get me to pay you for today. Well, prove it to me. Prove it to me that it was my bad luck. I can't prove it. You can't prove it. Therefore, if we can't prove it, we follow the rule of Amoitze Mechaveru Olav Araya. Amoitze Mechaveru Olav Araya means that I retain the money, and you have to prove to me otherwise, and you can't prove it. There's no way for the employee to prove that it was the other person's fault. No, who are we supposed to blame for COVID-19? My boss or the worker? No one. It's ridiculous. And therefore, since we can't prove it's anyone's fault, what are we left with? You want to get money out of me? No. You have to try to... Sorry?
Use that kind of concept.
We'd
have to be totally
different
based on the person that made the mistake. Because if you
Again, just means...
Is that a premise that we're going with?
Well, we're trying to figure out who can we blame for this outcome. Whose fault is it that this happened? So if I can prove it's your fault, then I get paid. If you can prove it's my fault, you don't pay me. Now, how can we prove that? The answer is we can't prove that. So therefore, you get to hold on to your money in your pocket and you don't have to pay me. The question is, let's say you already prepaid me.
I'm just saying, if it comes to that point, are we making a distinction... Is a payment for the worker at this point assumed to be for his time or for his...
Yes, right. So the assumption over here is you're going to get paid for a job you didn't even do, which we'll see is very hard to imagine. Why should I pay you for something you didn't do? Services weren't rendered. Why should you get any money? So that's what we're going to have to see also in today's sugya about such a concept. So the Chayra, the Shvus Yankiv in the Tshuva number 5 points out that what would happen in a case, according to the Rosh, where you prepaid the worker? Let's say you prepaid the worker, right? You have a worker coming Monday morning to irrigate the field. And you know what? You decided to pay him Sunday night. And now comes Monday morning, it rains, you no longer need him. So now you already paid him. So according to Rashi, if it has to do with the fact that it's Mazlach HaGaram, so the worker is still the blame, he has to pay me back the money. But according to the Rosh, it works with HaMaitzimei Chaveir Olavaraya, you have to prove it to me. Well, who's holding on to the money now? You prepaid him. Oh, that loses it. Yeah, I'm back.
Is someone else here very awful behind you?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you
were
here
for... No, see, I
gotta
tell you.
There's no internet connection. Okay, we're back. We switched rooms. Everyone, relax. We switched rooms.
All right, let me call this.
We're in a new place. Relax, everyone. We're in a new room. Relax. Relax, everyone.
Okay. Yeah, in his regular room with his daughter.
Okay.
Lena's taking care.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 The original room.
So the nafkamina. So the nafkamina lechayra should be is what happens if you prepaid. I apologize for that. So the nafkamina would be is what happens if you prepay everyone. Let's say you prepaid your worker, and now he already has the money.
Rabbi, one second. Are you in the basement right now?
I left the basement. I'm back in the regular room. Relax.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
I'm saying I don't have so much place to move around over here, so if kids start to scream, you guys are on your own. Okay, in any case, so L'chaira says the Shvus Yankiv that what would happen if you already paid the worker? So if you already paid the worker, so now he's holding on to the money. Now comes Monday morning, you don't need the worker, so you say to the worker, pay me back the money. Well, the worker says, no, I'm going to make a veil of a raya. You want to get the money out of me now. Now you want to get the money out of me, you have to prove that it was my fault that I couldn't do the job, which obviously you can't do. So the chayra and afkamina between Rashi and the Rosh would be, let's say, for example, you prepaid. So let's just say, for argument's sake, you prepaid your tuition, right? Every president of a school's dream that everyone prepays their tuition all the way up to June. So now you already prepaid your tuition. Now the school is holding on to the tuition. Now you're trying to get it out of the school. That's much harder. Because now they're the muchzik. They're holding on to the money. And according to the Rosh, when you're holding on to the money, then you get to say, Amaitzim Echaveh Alavarai. However, according to Rashi, it doesn't matter. According to Rashi, the worker loses because we always assume it's the worker's fault that things go sour. So, it's always the worker's fault. And therefore, Mazlecha Garm. That would be a very important nafkamina between whether or not it was prepaid or whether or not it was not prepaid. If you look at number 5b, it's actually Machloikis Mechaber and Shach. If you look at number 5b, the Mechaber writes... He's talking about a case where someone is sick and they can't go to work. So the Chabad writes, "V'hu adin lemelamei shecholo." Let's say you have a melam who gets sick. Shemanakin lo demei cholof. We subtract the days that he's sick. Umiyo, however, writes, "Im kvar kibal apoyel ay melam itzcharoi." But if he already got paid, he already got a salary. Ye shaimim. Some people say the ain't a tzarich lahachzer melamid. Ha'choy ain't tzarich lahachzer. He does not have to give the money back. Why? So Rabbi Asher Weiss wants to explain what's this svara, because now he's the muhsin. Now the Rebbe is holding on to the money. Now the board wants to get the money out of the Rebbe's hand, saying, well, it's your fault you got sick. The Rebbe says, how do you know it's my fault I got sick? Maybe it's your fault I got sick. And now that I'm holding on to the money, I'm now the muhzik. If now I'm the muhzik, I might say mechaveh all over raya. However, writes the Shacha number 6, he says, I don't understand. He says, how you might say, v'om u'divrei chaloimus le'man of le'mayrin kol shekin kan le'mis taver klal l'chalik ben hiktim le'ischar ele. I don't understand the svara, why it should matter if I prepaid you or not. The ma'bekach shehiktim le'ischar, why does it make a difference if you prepaid him? Harei le'nosnu lo'y el adash yas le'malacha. I only gave you the money, I prepaid you to do the job. And if you don't do the job, I don't want to just give you free money. So the Shach doesn't understand why prepaying should make a difference, while the Shulchan Aruch seems to rule that prepaying would make a difference. So Rabbi Asher Weiss wants to say the machloik is between the Mechaber and the Shach is telling the machloik is Rashi in the Rush. If the Svar is Mazl Chagaram, it's your fault, so it's your fault no matter what happens. Whether I prepaid or I didn't prepay, I can always blame it on you. However, if the svar is like the Rosh, that's because of a mitzvah mechaveh all over Rai. So now it's going to depend who's the muchzik. If I'm already holding on to the money, and now you want to get the money out of my hands, so now I can say, bro, prove it to me that it's my fault, which is almost impossible. But Mashenka, if the money is in the hands of the employer, and the employee is trying to get the employer to pay, so then the employer says, I might say mechaveh all over Rai. So here would be a very important afkamina if you prepaid your worker. Let's say you prepaid your worker. Let's say you had a job that you wanted someone to do a job for you. Again, this is not only tuition, it's negate a lot of things. Let's say you prepaid someone to come to your house to do work. And now he's not coming because of COVID and he's never going to come back. Right? Obviously, if he's going to come back later, you'll pay him later. But the job is no longer negate anymore because it's over his man bottle. The job is no longer applicable. So who gets paid? So if you prepaid your worker, so now he's holding on to your money. Now you're going to try to get the money out of his hand. But if you did not yet prepay him, so simply speaking, we say that the poyel loses out and the worker doesn't collect his money. That seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara. So normally speaking, the worker loses.
So that doesn't mean you lose because the other guy's mosak. It means that you have to bring rayas.
Which is impossible.
The guy didn't perform. Or he's holding it, but I can still get it.
No, but there's no... How are you going to bring a raya whose fault it was? How are you going to prove who's the reason for why the bad luck? I can prove to you why we have bad luck. It's your fault versus my fault. It's very hard to prove that. So yeah, if you could come up with a way to prove, let's say for the example of sickness, let's say you somehow can prove that, you know, you got sick because you went out without a coat.
You were in social distance.
Maybe.
You got sick, so you have to give me the money back.
Maybe. If again, according to the Rush, if you could somehow prove whose fault it is, so then maybe we can talk. Now, this is all true with a regular worker. Good old-fashioned worker, regular worker that you hire on a regular day, and nothing to do with corona. You hire a worker, and the job is no longer applicable, it's no longer relevant, do you pay the worker? And the answer is, no, you don't have to pay the worker, because the Gemara says about Metziah, that when a worker does not have the job, it's no longer relevant, Pseida, Depayalim, the worker loses out. So if we would stop right here, and we'd ask ourselves, are all the shahs that are going to be dealing with coronavirus, the answer is the worker loses out. Pseida, Depayalim. It's a Mefarsha Gemara about Metziah, that the worker loses out. So why is there even a sugya to discuss? Because there's another very, very important halacha, which is based on two mishnayos in Baba Metzia. And the magical words that you probably have heard from other people that have learned the sugya, and the magical words are called makas medina. There's some special phrase called a makas medina. What does that mean, a makas medina, and where does this come from? So there are two mishnayos in Baba Metzia, both. One is on Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, and one is on Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis. The Mishnah reads the following, number 7. HaMekabel Soda Mechaveroi, person is Mekabel a field from his friend, for who Beis HaShlochim, and it's a Beis HaShlochim. A Beis HaShlochim means a field that needs to get irrigated. Oy Beis HaElon, or it happens to be right next to a tree. Beis HaElon Yavesh, I have a better print over here. Beis HaElon Yavesh HaMa'ayin, V'Niktzas HaElon, what happens if the beauty of what happened is that all the nice things that I like when I saw your field now is no longer there. I had a beautiful irrigation system hooked up that there was a natural stream coming in, and then it just dried up one day. Or I had a beautiful tree that was providing shade, and now the tree dries up, gets cut down. So what happens now? So ein menakel min chachuray. You don't have the right to subtract the price. Meaning, I
I paid a certain price for a certain setup because I liked the setup. The setup was that it was a base of shloch and it needed constant irrigation, and there happened to have been a stream that was right there. Now that the stream is no longer there, so I say, you got to deduct me something. I bought it, or I paid for this with a certain rate, and I didn't buy the field. I bought rights to use the field. So therefore, I ain't a menakalim in chachura. You have no right to subtract. Now, im amar lo, if you say to him, chachur li sad, again, just to explain, what's a chachur? So chachur means like this, that you have a field, and I come to you and I say like this, I will give you $1,000, and the field is mine for all usage and all produce that it produces. It's different than a sharecropper. An arus takes a percentage. A chachur means I give you flat rate. I say, listen, here's $1,000, I'm going to do what I want with the field. The field is going to be mine, whether it goes up or whether it goes down. It's mine. It's like a subletting type of experience. So if I see a beautiful field and I say to myself, oh, this field, it's a base of shloch, it needs to be constantly irrigated, but no problem. There's a stream right next to it, and there's a tree with beautiful shade. And then I say, fine, $1,000 for the month, and all of a sudden, all those perks fall away. So I come back to you, I say, nah, I'm not giving you $1,000 for this. We're knocking it down to $850 or whatever, it's $500. Says the Mishnah, absolutely not. You can't do that. However, says the Mishnah, im amaloi chachor lisad de beis hashlochim, let's say I set up like this, that I bedavka want to make this agreement with you in a field that is the beis hashlochim zu, I sell the beis ilan zeh, then, if I set it up like that, mefurash, and I tell you I want only this type of field, then it does become, I have the right to subtract. Frek di gemara hechi dami. Well, Gemara wants to say, what's the case over here? I did a chachura, which means I paid a flat rate to have usage of your field, and then the water dried up. So, if the big river that irrigates into the field dried up, why don't you subtract from the chachura? Nema, you should say, makas medina. You should say that's a makas medina. And whenever there's a makas medina, whenever there's something which is what's called a makas medina, I went a little out of order, it's really more first in number 6, so what happens when you throw me in different rooms. I'm all lost over here. Then you have the right to subtract. So the fact that why is it not a makas medina? So Amar Rav Papa, the yavish nahar zuta. Now the big river that flows into the field did not dry up. A little river on the side. The Amar Lehi boy the chlasui bedavlo. The Gemara says because you know what, you still got to take a pail and bring it from the big river. Now we're going to learn from this Gemara a very important halacha. And the halacha is in order for something to be a makas medina, it has to be that there's no way to make it work. Because what was the Gemara's answer? It's not a makas medina. Why? Because all that dried up was the small river. And the small river, you'll go to the big river and schlep the water. Aye, it's an inconvenience. Okay. Inconvenience doesn't make something a makas medina. A makas medina means when you can't perform the task at all. But if you could perform the task with slight inconvenience, that's not considered a makas medina. Which will be a question when we go forward and talking about when the teachers in the Rebbeim are doing Zoom and teleconference, they're still providing the service. They're teaching your children. Now, if they're saying, I'm sorry, I don't want to inconvenience myself, I don't like to do Zoom, so I'm not going to teach the kids Zoom, but I could. So that might not be a real makas medina because you're not doing the most you could. There's a taisus over here, and the Bach brings a halacha, that in order to be makas medina, it has to be that you tried all your best and you can't make it happen. But if it's a slight inconvenience, you don't want to inconvenience yourself, that's not a makas medina. Let's just go backwards to number 6, another Mishnah Bar Metzia. Hamekabo sadeh mechaveri. A person made up an agreement for a field, v'och l'chagav, and it was eaten by grasshoppers. Here's a different case. Instead of the field being affected with the water or with the shade, the actual crop got destroyed. So then says the Mishnah, Imakas Medina hi, if it was a makas medina menaka like min chachura, you have the right to subtract from the original deal. The im ain't a makas medina, if it was not a makas medina, ain't a menakla min chachura. Then you can't subtract. Why you take the loss? It's your problem. Rebbe Yehuda says, no, I'm kibla hemen and b'mois, if it was dealt with money already, benkach ain't a malakim and chachura. Then the Gemara has a kasha, hechidami makas medina, what constitutes a makas medina? Amar Rebbe Yehuda coined the ishtef ruba de ba'aga. Most of the property got damaged. Ula amar kanchin ishtefu arba sadeis ma'abru chaseh, 4 fields on 4 sides. Again, I don't think we have to really debate how this is. If you hold Corona as a makas medina, it probably meets the criteria of makas medina. It affects enough people in enough communities to be deemed a makas medina. So what do you see from these 2 mishnayos? That there's some concept called makas medina. If your field was affected by what's called a makas medina, where it affects everyone or a large population, the rules are different. And you have the right to subtract from what you originally paid. Okay. Now, that's very nice. And it's recorded like that in Shulchan Aruch, number 8, says the Mechaber. HaChoycher, Then dried up the stream. But the big river didn't stop. Or you can then just have to schlep it with a little pitcher. That was mamish like what the Gemara told us. The big river did not dry up. The small river dried up. Then, or they trapped down one of your trees for shade. You have no right to subtract from what you owe the field owner. But the makas medina, the magical words again, if it was a makas medina, but the whole river dried up, and now the field is completely useless. You have the right to subtract from the original amount you made up with the Baal Hasod. Now, again, the Gemara and the two Mishnayos have nothing to do with regular workers. This is talking about fields and field owners. So yes, if you were to have a field that got affected by Corona, you'd be able to go back to the owner of the field and say, listen, I don't want to pay full rate for this field. This field is ruined. How does this translate, or does it translate in any way to affect workers and employers? So again, on one hand, we learned that a normal employer, the way it works is the employer usually loses pseida depayalim. On the other hand, we have a new found halacha called makas medina. That when there's a makas medina, when the whole city is affected or a large population, then the worker has the right to go back to the owner of the field and lay a claim, and his claim is accepted. How does this all play out with regard to workers? So there's an unbelievable Mordechai in Bava Metzia. The Mordechai in Bava Metzia talks about something which is sad, but we all know has been true in Jewish history. The Mordechai writes like this. What happens if the government passes a law that you're not allowed to teach Torah? So the Rebbeim are all out of a job. So do they get paid? Says the Mordechai, number 9. And they can't teach. It's not like they have Zoom. They can't teach. It's forbidden by the government. So do you have to pay the Rebbeim? Says the Mordechai, have a Makas Medina. That's a Makas Medina. Ve'yahevsid shal bal habayis. And all the balabatim, all the parents of the children have to incur the loss, and the rabbeim still get paid. So what do you see from this Mordechai? That the Mordechai is applying the rules of Makas Medina to way beyond fields and field relationships. He's applying it to regular po'alim relationships, employee-employers. More specifically, Rebbe tuition relationship. And writes to Mordechai, in a case where you're unable to teach Torah because there's a Gzeiras HaMalchus, the government forbids it. In such a case, all the parents have to pay tuition under the banner of Gzeiras Makas Medina. So we see from this Mordechai that we can use Makas Medina to other types of Choshe Mishpat questions. So, following that logic, if we assume that COVID-19 has a status of a Makas Medina, which is preventing all of these jobs to take place, I can't do my job and you can't do your job, so we should all be compensated by our respective balabas, which means Lafiza the Rabbeim should collect their tuition. And it means, again, if I hired someone to do a job for me and he can't do it because of COVID, and COVID is Makas Medina, pseida the balabais. That's the ruling of the Mordechai. Now, it's a very nice ruling. The question is this ruling accepted lahalacha? Secondly, what's the svara? We mentioned earlier that normally when it comes to workers, usually the worker loses. Here the worker is winning. Why the change? Didn't we learn earlier that when the worker and when the employee and the employer have a disagreement of whether or not he gets paid, so we said mazal chagaram. So say mazal chagaram over here. I could take to my worker, it's your fault that COVID-19 happened. Right? And therefore, why should I have to pay you? Yet the Mordechai seems to say, and we'll see in a minute, it's recorded like that by the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, that when it comes to something which is Makas Medina, you have the right to say to your employer, you got to pay me. Now, the Ramon Shulchan Aruch in number 10 in Simon Shinchof Aleph and Chosh Mishpat, he actually records this. Lahalach. He writes, V'chein pasek maram, amalamit shagazra ha-moishel, he quotes the Mordechai, that quotes the Maram, if you have a situation where the government made a decree on the government, shlo yilmad, that you're not allowed to teach, to have a makas medina, that's considered a makas medina v'chol ha-hefsid al-balabayis. And all the loss will be incurred by the balabatim, they all have to pay the tuition bills, even though the rabbeim are not, and again, this is worse than today. This means the rabbeim are not teaching anything. Today, Baruch Hashem, the rabbeim are teaching, and they're pumping the kids with information, again, albeit on shorter hours, but they're still teaching. Here they were doing nothing. They couldn't teach Torah at all. And yet, says the Mordechai, quotes Ramon Shulchan Aruch, they get paid. Why? Because it's a Makas Medina. Makas Medina, the rules are different. However, the Ramah does conclude the Yesh Cholkim. There are those who disagree. That's the opinion of others. They say that once that the issue arises, now the teachers have the right to say, I no longer want to teach. A worker has the right to retract. A poil can always go back and say, I don't want to work anymore. So I'm resigning. Now that the government says I can't teach Torah anymore, I'm now resigning. I'm resigning from my job. And therefore, if I'm resigning, I don't have to pay you. The deal's over. Then the Ramah concludes at the end, but Harishoina vasvara harishoina nearly ikar. But I think like the first svara is the ik, which means, like the Mordechai, that the poyalim get paid. So simple reading of this Ramon Shulchan Aruch will lead us to believe that in a case like COVID, that we can call it a Makas Medina, the Rabbeim cannot teach Torah. The answer would be is the Rabbeim still get their salary because Makas Medina, Mordechai, Bab Metzia, Pseida de Balabas. Okay, so if we were to stop right here, and many of the Rebbeim maybe will turn off and stop right here, and go to the tuition board and say, I want full salary, I don't have to do Zoom. And even though the Bach we quoted earlier said you do have to do, you have to try your best, but you get paid, full payment, even though you didn't teach a minute of Torah. However, there's a lot of problems with this Ramah. One issue that is brought up about this Ramah is that there's another Ramah. There's a Ramah, a few simanim later, the Ramah writes, "In Baruchu Machmas Shinoi Avir." What happens if you have a town where the Rebbe is teaching Torah in the town, and then one day there's a bad weather in the town. There's a shinoi avir, there's a bad ear, and everyone leaves town. Zok the Ramah, have kishar oinis. That's like any other oinis. V'have pseida de poyol oy hamalamid. Who occurs the loss? The Rebbe. So let's say, for example, one day the Rebbe can't teach Torah because there's bad pollution in the air, and all the kids run away to upstate New York. No one wants to stay in the city because there's so much pollution, so all the kids run up with their parents to their homes in upstate, and the Rebbe's sitting alone in the city. So he says, pay me. The answer is no. That's an oinus. You can't do your job because of no one's control. And we learned earlier, when there's an oinus, who takes the loss? The Rebbe takes the loss. Pseida de poyol oy hamalamid. So the question is, so why is Makas Medina any different? So the simple answer is, so some people say it's a Stephen Ramah. Here the Ramah says that the Malami takes the loss, and we just read earlier that if the government shuts it down, the Malami doesn't take the loss. So what's the simple answer? The simple answer is that that's not a Makas Medina. Meaning, if no one's allowed to teach Torah because the government forbade it, so then that's a Makas Medina. Here it's not a Makas Medina. Some people don't like the bad ear. The whole city didn't run out. A few people in the town decided that, you know what, the ear is too bad, they want to move to another location. That's the way many Achronim want to answer for the Ramah. They were not told, it's not a stira. Avada, if it's something like a Makas Medina, meaning let's say, for example, they didn't close all the schools in New York because of COVID. They closed some schools. So then you could debate, is that a Makas Medina? But here, in the case where they closed every single school across New York, New Jersey, all over, that's for sure Makas Medina. Then the Ramah says, Makas Medina, the Rebbe gets paid. I, the Ramon Shin Lamedalid, where everyone leaves the town because the ear is bad, it says the Malami does not get paid. That's because it's not a Makas Medina. It only affected a small group of the people. That's one way many Achrayim want to answer this issue in the Ramah. However, the Sma on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, it's a very long Sma. Quite a long smile goes through a lot of things. I try to just take out the most important tidbits of the smile. And the smile writes in this Ramah, he completely disagrees with the ruling of the Mordechai. And he writes number 12. He says he does not agree with the Maram based on the Mordechai that the parents have to pay full tuition for a Rebbe who didn't teach a word. What's the Svara? I'm sorry, we're on page 2. Let me just move over. Page 2. Source 12. Says the Sma. This is like any other einus. It's not normal for the government to forbid teaching of Torah. And it's not normal for the government to close because of COVID. Therefore, what status is it? No one knew about it. Frek the Sma. This is what we started off at the beginning of this year. When the Gemara told us that when you have a case where it's an uncontrollable situation, it's an oinus, no one knew about it, no one can do anything about it, so who takes the loss? The worker takes the loss. So frek the sma, why is the case of the government shutting it down any different? So the Ramah said, Makas Medina. What is that? There's no precedent for Makas Medina when it came to workers or Rebbeim. The only precedent we had for Makas Medina had to do with when you're dealing with workers in the field. And therefore says the sma, Right? Asks the Sma, the steer that we mentioned earlier. In Shin Lamadal, the Rama writes that if everyone runs out of the community because the community had a bad ear, Shino Ha'avir, the Rebbe doesn't get paid. So Frek the Sma, so why does the Rebbe get paid over here? Then he writes, V'af, V'loi Chilku, he doesn't make a distinction of Makas Medina or not Makas Medina. V'af Shemaram Kosim Sim Shin Lamadal, Sif Behago, V'af Makas Medina, Ayin Lel Sim Shin Chavalf. Ah, even though we know that the Rama does acknowledge Makas Medina, the Rima is the Dvarim Shekasev Khan. Okay, he doesn't like that pshat. So writes the Sma, he writes, V'svara Zulay Matzino B'shamakon. We don't find anywhere in Shas that Makas Medina impacts worker relationships. V'adarabba, Mistavra Loimad, the Kivin the Makas Medina who, Hamaskir V'aseich Hashav Ma'adavar, everyone should be equal. V'ein Loimad the Mazloy, the Mishum Achad Garim, V'nach Zeklon, the Maitzim Chavel, V'rayim. Says the smafakert. Who can you blame for a Makas Medina? No one. It's my luck that the government decided. It's my fault that the government decided to shut down Torah. It's my luck that we got COVID-19. You can't blame anyone. Therefore, says the sma, or at least either say I'm waiting to make avail of a raya, which means the rabbeim are trying to get money out of the parents. The parents can say all of lavi raya. Oy, the pochos ya hefser al shneim. Let's go 50-50. Says the sma, let's go 50-50. Let's just go down the middle. Meaning both sides really want to go to work. I want to teach Torah and I want my children to learn Torah. But we have this government thing in the way. Same thing with COVID. Again, with COVID it might be a little bit different because there are some rabbeim who might say, no, I don't want to come to class because it's dangerous. I can be exposed. The kids have no problem going, but I can imagine some rabbeim and teachers saying, no, I don't want to teach because I'm exposing myself. I'm perhaps exposing myself to potential harm. But in the case of the government, everyone wants to teach Torah, but the government's not letting us. So says the Sma, he thinks in that case you should split it. So the Sma disagrees with the Rama. The Rama holds, in the case of Makas Medina, Rebbe Talmud, the Rebbe gets full payment. According to the Sma, absolutely not. There's no reason why the Rebbe should get full payment. At best, the teachers can claim that the school board tuition can say I'm oitzim mechavel of araya, or we should split it. What do you do with the Mordechai? The Sma can argue on the Rama. He's going to argue on the Mordechai. It's Mefurash Mordechai and Bamitzi. We read it together. The Mordechai said that if the government shuts it down, it's pseida de balabayas. So the Sma comes over here with a new, unique way to read the Mordechai. And he writes like this, number 13, left side. He says, L'chein nearly. Shegam das ha-Mordechai b'shei maram hikein. He thinks that the Mordechai really holds like him. The Mordechai didn't mean that the entire tuition falls on the parent body. He thinks that it means really a split. He doesn't say that the whole loss is occurred by the families. If you look back at our print, the way we have it in Mordechai, it says V'yehefsid shel balabayis. Says the Sma, the way you're supposed to read it is V'yehefsid shel balabayis. That's the right girsa. What difference does it make, says the Sma? Hare deloy kosav kol ha-hefsed ala balabais. He doesn't say that the balabais takes the whole loss. He just means that the balabais also takes a loss. Meaning, says the Sma, the Mordechai is screaming his opinion that we go 50-50. So therefore, says the Sma, he thinks the Rama is wrong. He thinks he misquoted the Mordechai. And he thinks the correct reading of the Mordechai is, it goes 50-50. Okay? So now we have a whole new sugya on our hands. So we have a machoikis, when there's a Makas Medina preventing the Rebbein from teaching. Again, pashtus, it shouldn't only be Rebbe Talmud. It should be any job between two workers, between an employee and employer. Let's say I hired someone to babysit my child, and the person doesn't want to come now because of COVID-19. So same thing. That's a poyol with the balabais. Lav dafka teaching Torah. We'll see. There's a nesivis that learns it's only dafka by a rebbe and a talmud. But the pashtus is, it's any two people that make an agreement, and the agreement can't be fulfilled because of uncontrolled environment. So according to the Rama, the balabais has to foot the bill, and the worker gets all the money. According to the Sma, absolutely not. At best, it goes 50-50. So now we got a big shayla on our hands. Who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like the Rama, or do we paskin like the Sma? So if you look in the Shach, number 14, the Shach writes over here, he says, Bisma herich mikan nistor divrei Rav. He says that if you look in the Sma, he goes on ba'arichos to disagree with the Ramah, the chol dvarav shom enu mukhrachim. Says the Shach, I'm not overly moved by the arguments of the Sma. I don't think they're so compelling. And he writes, he doesn't like how he kvetched the Mordechai, that he really means both people take the loss. It doesn't seem to be like to anyone who would look into it well would see that that's not the reading. And then he writes, he forgot about Rishonim. Says the Shach, there's Mefurish Rishonim that Paskin like the Ramah, that the Baal Bayis has to give full payment to his workers. So now we have a Ramah and the Shach against the Sma. Gets better, the Taz. The Taz writes the number 15, writes the Taz. The Ikur Kush is a Sma like Koshimidi. He says the Sma's Kasha, that's a steering Ramah. When the Ramah writes by us that if there's a Makas Medina, the workers get paid, and he writes, but if everyone leaves the city because of bad ear, the workers don't get paid. That's not a kasha, says the Taz. Why? This is what we mentioned earlier. Says the Taz, because in Shin Lamadal, when he was talking about the case of the bad ear, that wasn't a Makas Medina. It affected a few people. If it would be something on a large scale like a Makas Medina, of course the Ramah Paskins, where the workers get compensated. And therefore, says the Taz, quotes the Tshuvas Rami Padua that we saw from the Shach, Shemakas Medina Avi Kol Hefzi Shabal Abayis, Mikoyach Din Zed Xeris HaMoshesh HaMordechai Shezachanu. We Paskin, based on this Maram, the Mordechai, that whenever there's a Makas Medina, the workers always get paid. Vuhu Borer, Vuhu Poshet, says the Taz, it's clear, undisputable. So we have Ramah, Shach, Taz, all Paskin based on a Mordechai and Bob Metzia, based on a Maharam. That when the government shuts down the schools and the yeshivas can't function, that's a Makas Medina. Makas Medina, the workers always get compensated. Who's against this? The Sma. The Sma says absolutely not. What type of svar is that? Makas Medina. Who says Makas Medina when you're talking about workers? Makas Medina is only true when you're talking about a field and bad fielding. Okay, the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon in number 16 writes on this Ramah. He writes, Mikom Mokim Dvarim Tumuin. Umirafsom Igra. He says the words are a pella and they're amazement. They don't make any sense. He disagrees adamantly on the Ramah. He doesn't understand at all. Rabbi Shweiss explains, and I don't know, I looked at the Vilna Gaon, I didn't see this in the Vilna Gaon, but many of the Bira Hagra are very hard to learn. But Rabbi Shweiss explained that what the Bira Hagra was bothered with was the Gaon wanted to tell you the following. The Bira Hagra wanted to say that if you had to make an analogy between the Mishnah B'Metzia and our case, what would the analogy be? Meaning, the premise for Makas Medina is based on a Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about a case where you have the fellow who owns the field and the fellow who basically pays to use the field. Now, in that relationship, what happens? There's a Makas Medina. And the Mishnah tells us in that case what happens. The owner of the field loses out. The choicher, the one who pays to use the field, gets the better end of the deal. So it says Rabbi Shweiss, this is where he says the Vilna Gaon asks on the Ramah. In that case, so who loses? The owner of the field is demanding payment from the choicher. He tells the choicher, you owe me $1,000 because that was a deal. The choicher says, absolutely not. I'm not giving you a full $1,000 because something happened. What does the Mishnah say? Makas Medina, the choicher wins. So who wins in that equation, says Rabbi Shweiss, between the field owner, the one who's trying to collect. The owner of the field is trying to collect. And the chiddush of Makas Medina is he who is trying to collect can't collect. Says Rabbi Shweiss, let's bring that back to our case with the Rebbe and the Talmidim. Who's trying to collect in this case? The Rebbe. The Rebbe is trying to collect his tuition from the parents. So if you follow the logic of that Mishnah, borrowing the players and basically substituting them to the Rebbe and the parents, who's the Choich and who's the Baal HaSod in our case, says Rabbi Shweiss? In our case, the Rebbe is trying to collect payment. So if you follow the analogy of the Mishnah, whoever tries to collect payment is the one who loses when there's a Makas Medina. So Taina de Vilna Gaon. So then the Rebbe should be the loser, not the winner. So Taina de Vilna Gaon, the Ramah is very difficult. Because if you're going to borrow the same, you're going to, again, you have to take the equation. What was the equation? Again, it took me at least three times listening to this Rabbi Shweiss to catch this well enough to explain it, okay? So if I'm getting some blank stares, it just takes a few minutes. Says Rabbi Shweiss like this, if you look at the field, in the case of the field and the Choycher, what happened? The Choycher paid or was supposed to pay to have rights to use the field. Now he comes after and says, you know what, I'm not paying you full rate because I didn't get a full, the grasshoppers ate my whole produce. So what happens over there? The Baal HaSod is trying to collect from the Choycher. And the Baal HaSod is told by the Mishnah, no, you don't get to collect because Makas Medina. Makas Medina affects your ability to collect your payment. Says Rabbi Shweiss, let's borrow that to our sugya, to the Maram, to the Mordechai. You have a Rebbe and you have the parent body. Who's collecting from whom? The Rebbe is trying to collect his tuition from the parents. So says Rabbi Shweiss, following the Mishnah's analogy, where does that leave us? That who's the who in our sugya? The Rebbe who's trying to collect is like the Baal HaSodah. And we learn from the Mishnah that the Baal HaSodeh loses when there's a Makas Medina. So Taina de Vilna going to here also. The Rebbe should lose when there's a Makas Medina. Why did the Ramah say that the Rebbe wins? So that's how Rabbi Shweiss explained why the Vilna Goin rejected the ruling of the Ramah. Okay? But the Ramah's words are great. It's Rafsa Nigra, says the Vilna Goin. So we have basically a Machlokes like this. If you want to count up sides, we have the Ramah, Shach, Taz, all of the opinion that the Poyel, the worker, gets 100% of his payment. Especially in the case of a Rebbe. While on the other side of the equation is the Sma and the Vilna Goin that say no, he does not get his. According to the Vilna Goin, he should get nothing. According to the Sma, maybe 50%, but full payment is an absolute no, according to the Sma and the Vilna Goin. Okay. Now, how do we paskin from that? Now, if you're presented with such a shayla, how do you make heads or tails of that? You have a Ramah, Shach, and Taz, you have a Sma, Vilna Goin. How do you, paskin halacha l'maisa? But before we even get to that, just to make it a little bit more exciting, there's a shtickle over here from the Nesivos. We don't often quote Nesivos HaMishpats in a Tuesday night share, but there's a very nice Nesivos over here. Nesivos HaMishpat writes, in number 17, he wants to say a whole new pshat in this Ramah. He wants to say that this Ramah is not every worker, employee, employer relationship. There's something specific about Rebbe Talmud. Meaning, let's say, for example, I wanted to hire a cleaning lady. And I told her to come. I told her to come. You come for the next 6 months. And now for 6 months, she's not coming because of COVID. So is that the same thing as the Ramah's case of a worker? Is there something special about a Rebbe Talmud? A Rebbe Talmud is Lav Dafka. It's really the point is worker, employee, employer. So the Nesivos suggests the following. The Nesivos writes, number 17, he says, L'chein nira de'ein das harav kan demakas medina misham kol schare. U'gdas amot chesheivi harav ba'agod b'simit shen chafav. He says he doesn't think pshat is that every worker, every employee gets full payment when there's a makas medina. Why? The imkain hoyla lichta bepshitas. He should have reposhed v'may makas medina chayav esham kol schare. Shekan mevor ikad din ainsei apoel. V'gam lekamam besamach kasa ba'atz medin borcha machma shinu avi avi pseid the poel. After shinu avi makas medina. Okay. So he wants to tell him like this. V'taymer shal ha-mordcha. He says the Mordechai is unique. Why is the Mordechai unique? The chayiv b'melamed b'gzeres ha-moish al nira d'svirulei kiven the melamed osro litas chalimut. Says the Nesivos, because a Rebbe's never allowed to get paid. Rak schar shimur. He gets paid for watching the kids. Kimevor b'nedar. B'gzeres ha-moish al ene oynes al ha-shimur. Says the Nesivos, an interesting chab. The government is not stopping you from watching kids. They're stopping you from teaching kids Torah. U'lechein chayiv ha-baal bayis. Kimesh l'inas ha-oynes al-adar v'shesachroi. Says the Nesivos, a very geshmak ha-chab in the Mordechai. You know why the Baal Batim still have to pay? Because the job that you hired me for is still very much alive. You didn't hire me to teach Torah, because you're not allowed to hire me to teach Torah. You hired me to babysit your children. I'll babysit them all day long. The government has no problem if I babysit them. The government doesn't let me teach them Torah. But if I want to babysit them, they can run around in a circle, play ball. The government has no problem. Therefore, Zok the Nesivos, that's why Bedavka over here, the Mordechai said that when the government prohibited the learning Torah, that's when the Rebbe gets paid. But let's say, for example, if the job that I hired you to do is the job that you can't do, avadu, you don't get paid for that. So according to this Nesivos, it comes out of a very big chiddush. It comes out of the whole din of the Mordechai, which is the basis for explaining worker, employee, employer, was limited only to a Rebbe and a Talmud. Because only by a Rebbe and a Talmud you can say this. Now again, going back to COVID-19, you can't even watch the kids. Right? What are you going to say? You'll say the Nesivos is Taina that, you know what? I hired you to babysit the kids. Yeah? The government still won't let you babysit the kids with COVID-19. right? So it won't make such a difference in our specific case. But how the Nesivus understands the Ramah, I'm sorry, how the Nesivus understands the Mordechai, is that the din of the Mordechai was specifically by a Rebbe Talmud, because by a Rebbe, I can't charge you to teach Torah. All I'm charging the parents for is guarding them. Good. So you can guard them when the government doesn't allow. However, if you look at number 18, it's very small print, I apologize, the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he quotes this Nesivus and he does not like it at all. He writes, he says, "Vasvara dechoyka min hadas." Very hard to believe. The gamle kaimelino halachalascha pisuk tamim. He says, "No, it's not true. You could pay for some form of teaching Torah. However, it's going to be worked out." Therefore, the Chassam Sofer completely rejects the opinion of the Nesivus. Okay, so the question is, where are we left today? So, Rabbi Asher Weiss is be'etzem bothered with a kasha. Rabbi Asher Weiss wants to know what's taka pshat in the Rambam. Why does Makas Medina allow the poel to win? Why? What happened to the rule that pseida the pilim, the original rule, the smas kasha? The smas kasha was, why does Makas Medina change the equation? That lechayra was never answered. So Rabbi Asher Weiss says two svaras to why he wants to, how he wants to explain the Rambam. One svara he says is, and I'll quote his actual words, he says that Torah value, Torah outlook is very socialistic. We care about the worker. The Torah's outlook on worker, employee-employee relationship is that the employer has the upper hand. And in many rise, he brings one rise from the fact that the poel's yochel achzer. A worker is allowed to retract the middle of the day. He has that right. Another rise is that we don't find anywhere else b'chol Torah kula that you're either alav and mevatel anasei if you pay someone else late. The only person if you pay late, you get a penalty, you're either something, is an employee-employer. He has other rayas. The halacha is if you're working in a field, you're allowed to eat while you're working. You're allowed to eat the produce that you're working for. So says Rabbi Asher Weiss, you see over here that there are certain kulas that are built in to the employer. Now, so the problem that I have is, so then what do you do with the Gemara? What the Gemara says, pseida de palim. So you're going to have to say yes. If normally the employer wins, unless we can have other reasons to say he should lose, like mazl chagaram. If I can blame the employer, if I can blame him for, if I can blame the employee for the problems, he gets blamed. But something like a Makas Medina where no one can be held accountable. So now we're starting with a fresh slate. No one to blame. So who has the upper hand? Oh, says the Ramah, upper hand always goes to the worker. Therefore, the worker gets paid. That's one svara that Rabbi Asher Weiss used to explain the Ramah. He has another svara, a little bit more lumdish. His svara is that whenever you have a case of Makas Medina, you always have to go back to the root issue. What's the dover that is presenting the issue? Where is the issue found? So again, the case of the field, what happened? The field got destroyed. So who owns the field? The field is owned by the field owner. So the field owner is the one that has the issue. So he's the one who incurs the loss. However, says Rabbi Asher Weiss, when you're going to the case of the teacher, who's the one that has the problem? The kids are the ones that have the problem. The Rebbe, the parents have the ones that have the problem. It's their kids who can't learn Torah. And therefore, the loss is occurred to the one who is the root of the issue. And therefore, by the case of the Meishel, that root problem is the parents. Now, again, I would argue by COVID-19, who's the root problem? It's the kids, or the root problem is the Rebbeim. The root problem is society. We can't be around each other. We're both the problem. If anything, maybe, you know, we're both equally to be blamed. But that's the svar that Rabbi Asher Weiss wants to give. So the question is, again, where are we left with Halacha L'maisa? So there's a very famous psak given by the Chassam Sofer. It's not in Tshuvas, but it's a sefer called Sefer Zikaron HaChassam Sofer. I saw that this sefer was written not during one of the major epidemics that broke out during the time of the Chassam Sofer. This was actually during the Napoleon times. When Napoleon and there was the wars, and there was a lot of crazy, hectic times, this Chassam Sofer was... Psak was given. The Chassam Sofer gave the following psak. Number 19, left corner. He writes, "V'rabu ata hamalamdim v'talmidim esher sh'olu nafsham." Today we have a problem with many rabbeim and many students that they're asking, "Ma la'asayis b'din zman zmanim shabotam milimudam?" What should we do with all the time where there's no yeshiva? Im yischayvu schar mishulam oiloi? Do they have to pay full tuition? This was during war, so they weren't able to have regular yeshivas. They were during the revolution. And the question was, should they get paid for not being able to teach Torah? So the Chassam Sofer writes, it is Vani be'einai amarti din Torah le'yadati. Says there, I don't know, says the Chassam Sofer. Vani mishal meschirim shalis chorom mishulam b'limikwa klal. Says the Chassam Sofer, but I personally am paying full tuition. Okay? Chassam Sofer writes this about himself. He says, I don't know the answer, but I'm paying full tuition. Without a question. Beli nikui klal, without any deductions. Okay? Va'atim tivtzu adin. You'll figure out the din. Adat ef pasha l'sham chetzei. You should give half. V'yavstan ha'malamed chetzei. So the Chassam Sofer was a big believer in pshara. 50-50. You pay 50, and the rabbeim will occur a loss of 50. Which again, might really be the psak of the sma. But the Chassam Sofer is not actually passing like the sma. He's just saying, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to go 50-50. The adua arichas dvar divrei asmasim in shulchan aruch alef. Says the Chassam Sofer, it's well known, again, I told you that the sma was marich, the Chassam Sofer testifies, agree. They also like that it's a very long sma, you can take a look at it, it's in Simen Shin Chaf Aleph and Chesh Mishpat. V'day d'shiav zem lamed kuloi. Again, the sma is back and forth about it, but there he writes, the Rebbe loses everything. Ul'chol ha'pachas v'asafar shtiv maram shiav zem al bayis chetzev, or at least, maybe he loses half. Ki v'ine ha'shach shom cholak alo v'divir ha'shach u'maram parwa n'choyim oit. We quoted the Shach. Says the Chassam Sofer, the Shach makes a very compelling argument. My time will says the Chassam Sofer, but I can't justify it. What svara is there to take away money from the Baal Batim because of Makas Medina? So what? Then he quotes Agos Hashri, that the Baal Bais, that the Shach quotes, Vinir the Kavanos said, okay, and at the end he writes the same psak. He says, I don't know what the answer is. It's amazing. Chassam Sofer says, I don't know what the answer is. For anyone who listened to Rabbi Shabbai Sishir, I mentioned this Sunday morning, he writes that it's okay for Rabbanim, and Rabbanim should say, I don't know. I do this all the time. I don't know. Get back to you. I'll look it up. I'll research it. I'll find out. He actually said, Rabbi Shabbai said, if a Rav can't say that, he has no business being a Rav. I think it's a very important lesson today. And I just want to hold the Baal Batim accountable also. Don't get mad if your rabbi says, I don't know either. Right, it's very nice for us to say, I don't know, but then when our contract is up next year, the president and the board says, well, but the rabbi told me 3 times last year he doesn't know the answer. Why should we take him back? He's obviously not well-versed enough, right? So therefore, I hold, it goes both ways, guys. Okay, in any case, but back to the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer writes, I don't know the answer, but I think pshar is the way to go. He writes at the end, avadin toyle yadati. I don't really know the answer, says the Chassam Sofer. Until someone bigger than me can pass in the Shaila. So the Chassam Sofer did not want to rule in the Shaila, so I'm not going to rule in the Shaila either. I'm going to go with the Chassam Sofer. So the Chassam Sofer said, Maaser Rav, he paid full tuition, but he's not sure what you should do, but he thinks the right thing to do is go 50-50. So therefore, if you've seen many people saying that what you should do is 50-50, it's based on this Chassam Sofer, because we don't know what to do, the art of pshara. Now, Rabbi Asher Weiss is bothered. Why should we do pshara? Why is that the right thing to do? Why is that the right path to follow? And he points out, and we'll discuss it hopefully later in the shir tonight, we got a few more hours to go, that there's a rule in Chayish Mishpat called Kimli, that if I have a disagreement with you, I can say, well, I have the right to follow this shita. It's a reputable shita. So Rabbi Asher Weiss wants to know, why don't we say that here also? Why don't we say that the Rebbe can come to the Board of Tuition and say, Kimli, I have the right to paskin like a Ramon Shulchan Aruch. And the Board of Tuition maybe could say back, well, Kimli, I want to paskin like the Sma. Why Pshara over here? Why did the Chassam Sofer was so convinced to do Pshara? So Rabbi Asher Weiss wants to suggest an interesting Yisoy, which is important for life in Chayish Mishpat. He wants to suggest that Pshara sometimes is the way to go when you're dealing with a Tzibor. When you're dealing with a lot of people. If me and you are having a Chayish Mishpat, take a question, and it doesn't affect anyone else, so maybe you could say Kimli. But if it's something which is going to affect so many people, thousands upon thousands of people are going to be affected by this Shaila, then the Chassam Sofer, this is Rabbi Asher Weiss's interpretation of the Chassam Sofer, he thought the best answer is Pshar. It's the safest, it's the best for the Tzibur, and if you read different emails from different shuls, they all were writing this idea. It's just Bishvil HaSholim sometimes, to make everyone unified and everyone on the same page, and this way no one feels ripped off or cheated. Bishvil HaSholim, we go 50-50. That was the Psak of the Chassam Sofer. Again, according to the Sma, that might be the right thing, while according to the Rama, maybe the Rebbe gets complete full payment, not only half. If we turn to the next page, this is in Minchas Asher. In Minchas Asher, Chelik Beis and Kuf Chaf, Rabbi Asher Weiss over there was discussing a Shaila that comes up very, Nebuch comes up, came up in Eretz Yisrael. What's the Shaila in Eretz Yisrael? When there's war time. And there's wars, and therefore no one wants to go to yeshiva. It's dangerous. So the kids stay home and the Rebbeim stay home. Now the question is, do the Rebbeim get compensated? Is there a form of compensation when there is a war? So what's the first question? Well, does a war compensate does it constitute a Makas Medina? Is a war considered a Makas Medina? Is that prevent? Can we blame anyone? Can you blame the Rebbe? Obviously, a war like in Eretz Yisrael is not the Rebbe's fault versus the student's fault. No one's to be blamed over there. There's no Mazlech Garam one more than the other. But the question is, if schools are closed for 2 weeks because of the war, of any war, and it's dangerous to travel in Eretz Yisrael, again, or like the Chassam Sofer's case, it's dangerous to travel because of other wars, who gets to get paid? So Reb Asher Weiss writes the following. Number 20. He says, well, let's forget Rebbe Tam. Let's talk about workers. Let's say you hired your cleaning lady to come for the next 2 weeks, and now you have a Makas Medina. You have a war, or you have a corona. Most of the workers in the school, the janitors, can't work due to the war. If he passes the vira mobis mission khafal shavis am al khamash bis fida al mahfsa al mabit um kabal pol tashlo mali again. Let's say you have janitors in yeshiva, you have workers, right? And they're not coming in because the yeshivas are closed and the shuls are closed. So according to Ramah, you still got to pay them. You got to pay them. Why? Because Makas Medina, you pay the workers. So therefore, says Rav Asher Weiss, v'chein bir divrei tas. Ach ledark yushal nesivis, but according to the nesivis, not so fast. Why? Because according to the nesivis, the Ramah was only talking about Rebbe Talmud relationship. Ach ledark yushal nesivis, gam b'chigav the maskam Ramah, sh'apoyle malamin mafsid, til oyle Makas Medina migareya kayach apoyle. Again, regular Makas Medina, avada takes away the power of the poil. It's only that case with the government, with the thing that they were prohibiting was what? They were prohibiting you to teach Torah. So the Rebbe could still babysit. But over here, that's not the case. Therefore, says the Rashi writes, "V'ilu hasma chaylik al Ramah." V'savashad denu shechloik uval kain. Paskins of Rashi writes, "Nira lemaisa sheroi lasis ke'en pshara v'yachloik." So Rashi writes, "Paskins in a case like that, you should make up pshara. Also, make up pshara. Give them half their salary." Okay, it's a little late, and there's still more to get to, like always. But let's just talk about for a second, number 23. Number 23, they quote the Chachma Shleima. The Chachma Shleima writes the following.
Rabbi, is there enough to make a part 3 next week or not?
Part 3 next week. There's some interesting tshuvas over here. There's a fascinating tshuva from Chaim Moiser about what happened when they banned Shechita in 1937, 1938. In parts of Europe, does the Shechit still get paid? Yeah, we'll talk more. I guess we could talk about it more next week, and we'll find something else to talk. We'll try to talk more. We can always talk next week about rentals. What happens if you rented property in Eretz Yisrael, or you rented somewhere else, and due to the rentals can, that was the last contrast that came out from Basha Weiss. We'll have to make this a part two, but Blineda will talk next week more about the tuition and the compensation, as well as some other inyonim, I guess, that are relevant. Maybe we'll talk Sefer Sa'imer, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see how we're going to label this year, but there's still more to see, and I don't want to rush it, because it's some fascinating stuff. There's a very long tshuva over here from the Zakein Aaron, Rabbi Aaron Wolkin, the Rav in Pinsk. We'll talk about that in our Hashulchan. So Belinad, we'll have to get to it next week. I apologize. Like always, we ran out of time. But if we just to recap, very bekitzer, the question to whether or not people should get paid in Corona is basically summed up as a Machloikis Ramah versus the Shach Taz, Vilna Goin Sma, Pshara of the Chassam Sofer, and that seems to be what many people are ruling with the Pshara of the Chassam Sofer. That's why you'll see in many of the emails that type, but that's where it comes from. Now, at least, hopefully, we have a little bit of an understanding of the issues. But the next week, we'll tackle some detailed issues of Makas Medina and some other issues about Poil Bottle, some other complicated things, and we'll see the Psak from Rav Shechter, but we'll hold that off for next week. And Hashem, tomorrow night, we are scheduled to have a Parsha Shir on Parsha's Emor. And Amit Hashem, Sunday we'll be back to our regular Gemara Shir. Wishing everyone a wonderful week. Stay safe. Don't forget to have a Ma'ariv and Count Sfira as well.
Hey, thank you, Rabbi.
Take care, everyone. Have a wonderful night. Take care. Be well, everyone.
Chaim, did you hear Chaim?
Yeah, he's screaming.
Yeah,
Ma'ariv is trying to... Ami's sleeping.